Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. This time of year means shorter days, colder temperatures, gloomier weather overall. That can lead us to feeling unlike ourselves, whether that's withdrawing or scaling back from activities we usually enjoy, to just feeling sad, maybe tired, lethargic. For some, this can be due to what has long been called the winter blues, but for others, it's more severe. It is caused by a form of depression known as seasonal affective disorder, also known as SAD, as the acronym. Joining us now to talk about the symptoms of SAD and ways to treat it is Dr. Gloria Petruzzelli, a clinical psychologist at UC Davis Health. Welcome to Insight.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I would love to start with your experience with seasonal affective disorder and SAD. What led for you to dive into this type of disorder?
Well, it's pretty common. You know, it impacts about 5% of the U.S. population. I certainly see it in my clinical work. Living in different geographical areas of the country, I did my graduate work in South Florida. So it's sunny, and very rarely did people talk about it. And it wasn't until I moved back to the Midwest or Northern California where you start to hear people talk about it as the seasons change. And so it's interesting to see in the winter months how my clinical caseload changes and the frequency of patient visits that coming in addressing SAD.
Well, it's good that your caseload actually goes up because that means people are actually seeking help. I look back to like maybe 15 years ago when we would talk about with my friends, the winter blues. And I don't know if there was such awareness of SAD, seasonal affective disorder. People would just say like, man, during the winter, like I just get kind of down and I don't know what to do about it. But then spring comes around and then you forget about it until, you know, fall and winter come back. Has there been growing awareness of seasonal affective disorder?
Yeah, I believe so. I think that's the great thing about social media and these platforms. We can talk about it more. I think younger generations are more used to having conversations, sharing, and being more vulnerable about their mental health concerns. And then you're right. I think with that, we have better words and better ways to name what our experiences. And knowing that there's a difference between seasonal affective disorder and the winter blues, and that presents very differently as well when it comes to someone saying, oh, I'm just kind of blue versus, wow, I have a major depression. I'm experiencing major depression. Yeah.
What are the symptoms that someone should be aware of to know the distinction that they're feeling, whether it's just feeling kind of blue to, hey, this is actually maybe seasonal depression and I should go talk to someone about this?
Yeah, I think it's really important to recognize the timing. So symptoms often start in the fall, accumulate over the winter, and then improve by spring. And so during this time, what we see is depressed mood or anxious mood, loss of enjoyment and pleasurable activities. So motivation goes down, not as interested in things that you used to, fatigue, changes in appetite and sleep. So eating too much, sleeping too much, not eating enough, not sleeping enough. And then more severe symptoms such as hopelessness, worthlessness, or thoughts of suicide. And so what these symptoms are, they impact our whole functioning. So it's not just in social situations or at work. It's at work, at home, in social situations, you see a global decline in functioning. So it's really important to recognize the timing and the symptoms and how you're functioning to really get a handle on this.
What is it about sunlight or daylight that is needed to help prevent this seasonal affective disorder?
Yeah, this is what I think is fascinating. So seasonal affective disorder is an interesting example of how our biology is connected to our natural environment. So sunlight helps increase the production of serotonin in our bodies. And so serotonin is that feel-good hormone, feel-good neurotransmitter. Our mood goes up, our energy goes up. So when we have enough sunlight, that production happens. When we decrease sunlight, that production doesn't get triggered in our bodies as much. Additionally, when we have increased darkness, the production of melatonin increases. So that's the hormone that enacts our sleep drive. So it's time to go to bed. It's time to wind down. And so that goes up. So serotonin, the mood, you know, hormone goes down with less sunlight, and then the melatonin increases that production. So there's a very interesting process that's happening to our bodies in reaction to our natural environment.
Are some people more at risk for seasonal affective disorder than others?
Yeah, that's a really good question. It's important to recognize your own personal history of previous episodes of depression or anxiety. And that's with seasonal affective disorder. The good thing is that it's very cyclical. We can trace it back at timing of the year. And so recognizing, are there other times where I didn't quite put it together that I was having these symptoms and it was impacting me? So monitoring, tracking your mood, but previous episodes of depression and anxiety, trauma, certain other mental health conditions can impact and increase seasonal affective disorder. But what we have found is that it's more common in females than in males, and it's more common in adults than children or teenagers.
Oh, okay. So more common in adults, more common in females or women. When you talk about this time of year and the melatonin goes up because we don't have as much daylight, it also coincides with the holidays, which isn't always the most enjoyable period for some people. It can bring up some tough feelings, maybe some sadness. Yeah. I think that might make it hard to kind of self-diagnose. I know you shouldn't really do that, or just at least know that you should go talk to someone, because maybe you might just kind of scrap it up to being like, oh, I'm just not a holiday person. What advice would you give someone to help sift through that?
Yeah, that is an important distinction with the holiday or winter blues. It's very situational, right? Holidays can trigger, you know, thoughts of grief and loss, feelings of grief and loss, not being able to travel or have resources. So these stressors, right? These are some of the stressors associated with the holidays that can make us feel anxious, sad, or down. And so recognizing that as well, like, is it stressors? And when the stressors are gone or alleviated, do I feel better? Right. So that's one thing, is again, self-monitoring and self-awareness is really important. And then planning ahead, having a social support system, keeping a routine as best as we can during this time. Journaling can be really helpful. Connecting with virtual communities. There's really, ever since the pandemic, I think that's the good thing about what's happened, is we can find virtual communities to plug into for support. And there's a lot of great free support groups out there. And so being able to plug into those social support systems, resources, exercise can help us cope with these stressors that happen during this time of the year.
Is it also challenging with this form of depression that it's essentially temporary? It may be annual, but it's temporary. It picks up in the fall, but it usually subsides in the spring.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the tricky thing about why I believe it's underdiagnosed, because people do get better. They're like, oh, the weather's getting better. I can get out. I can make plans. I'm functioning well again, or they slow roll into improving functioning. And then they realize, like, oh, it was just an episode I was going through. What's difficult is it lasts 4 to 5 months. So that's a pretty long time to be coping with depression symptoms, but it's very manageable and treatable.
Yeah. So when you're treating someone, this is your role as well to help people who are going through this. What are some options for people who are going through seasonal affective disorder?
Yeah. So the options for treatment, most often regarding treatment, are light therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy, and medications. And so, you know, certainly working with a licensed medical provider, mental health provider, to determine what is the best treatment, right? And then once we start delving in, or once I start working with somebody who's getting treatment or doing cognitive behavioral therapy, we really look at their thoughts, their behaviors, and how they're feeling in relation to these stressors. And one thing is, since it is pretty predictable, I encourage people to check their energy levels each day, right? Where's my energy at? It's like a battery. Is my battery at 50%? And then how do I want to delegate my energy accordingly, right? If I have 50%, what's most important in that day to prioritize my energy around? And this is just a matter of encouraging them and developing a perspective that this is temporary, they'll get through this, but with support and the right tools, it's very manageable. And I've seen patients be very proactive about increasing their sessions. So they'll say, hey, you know, I know we meet every 2 weeks or once a month, but can we meet every week? And I said, certainly, let's get through this. Let's review the coping tools that help us get through this time of year. People that have the resources, that's why they go on vacation to somewhere sunny, Hawaii, Florida, down to the Southern Hemisphere during this time of year. It certainly does help their mood if they can plan a trip somewhere. So we plan those activities, planning ahead, looking at what can motivate them, what's important to them. And then also being realistic. Like, the idea isn't to be functioning and everything's rainbows and sunshine. The idea is to get through and to be able to function in daily life enough to get those things done that is important for their self-care.
You just brought up something, because going back to, you know, 15 years ago when I was talking about this with my friends, one of them believe that going to a tanning booth would help them. I would think that's not necessarily a recommendation. I would think the tanning beds aren't necessarily good for your skin. Have you heard of something like that before?
Well, light therapy is probably the modality that they were aiming for. That's why I always recommend working with a medical provider.
But not a tanning bed.
Not a tanning bed, because that's, you know, that could have consequences on your skin as well. So as I mentioned before, sunlight increases the production of serotonin, right? So light therapy has been shown to be really useful, right? 20, 30 minutes a day. A lot of people in the Pacific Northwest have light therapy lamps, about 10,000 lux in brightness. And, you know, working with someone to see how much you need and how that could improve your condition certainly is important. But light therapy is a thing that's been shown to be useful.
Would a supplement like vitamin D help during this time?
Vitamin D can. And, you know, low vitamin D levels are linked to seasonal affective disorder. Again, consulting with the doctor or a nutritionist to see what levels and how much you need. But, you know, always having a good diet of, you know, fish, eggs, foods fortified with vitamin D can be very helpful.
Finally, we only have about 30 seconds left, but your work isn't really over come spring. Isn't there a spring onset SAD as well? Can you just briefly touch upon that?
Yeah, there is. And it's not as researched or discussed as, you know, the winter onset, but, you know, increased energy, elevated mood, irritability. And what's interesting, you see in mental health settings, those times of year, you do see an increase in patient visits. And so there is something to that. And maybe we'll talk about that another time.
But yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point, that it's not just in the winter, it's in the spring as well.
Spring is right around the corner. And sometimes there can be too much of a good thing. Dr. Petruzzelli, thank you so much for joining us and helping us better understand seasonal affective disorder. Dr. Gloria Petruzzelli is a clinical psychologist at UC Davis Health. And we've been talking about a form of depression that comes with changes in the season. It usually picks up around fall and subsides around spring, as well as some coping measures to help with this type of depression. That is it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. If you want to join the conversation, email us at insight@capradio.org. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast. I'm Vicki Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.